What a joy to be in the house of the Lord. And we sang a song a little bit earlier that the Word of God would have its effect upon us as we gather for worship. And our deep and sincere prayer is that God's Word would find its mark in our lives, that it wouldn't be just a dead letter, but that it would touch us in the deep recesses of our lives. And today we're looking at the words of Jesus, and we're gonna stand up for the reading of God's Word from Matthew 11, continuing in my series in the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus is speaking to his disciples then and to his disciples today. And he said these things. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding, and you have revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. I love how Eugene Peterson translates this section in his The Message. Some of you are familiar with this. It's his effort to put these words into kind of everyday language that's maybe a little bit more accessible for us. Listen to how he translate this into the American idiom. He says, "Abruptly, Jesus broke into prayer, saying, 'Thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You've concealed your ways from sophisticates and know-it-alls. Yes. But you have spelled them out clearly to ordinary people. Yes, Father, that's the way that you like to work.'" Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now very tenderly. He said, "The Father has given me all these things to do and to say. There is a unique Father-Son operation here, coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does, but I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone that is willing to listen to me." Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you will recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you will learn to live freely and lightly." What a beautiful heart we see in Jesus. Jesus and the Father are one in this text. Jesus is talking to his Abba in intimate ways. Jesus and the Father enjoyed heaven together before the incarnation. In the eternal councils of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, there was a decision made that the Son, God Himself, would come as a human being and experience what we have experienced to rescue us. We had gotten ourselves into a pickle, and we couldn't get out of it ourselves. Only God could save us. And the gospel, the good news, is that Jesus came, Emmanuel, God with us. And he lived his life for 3 years. And he spoke beautiful words and gave beautiful examples, healing, touching people. And then he says this beautiful thing here. He's talking to his Father. He says, "You and I are one, and you have given me all things." Wow. What a beautiful picture that is. The Father giving all things to the Son. And at the end of all of this, when every knee will bow and every tongue confess to the glory of the Father, it's given to Jesus, and Jesus will give it back to the Father, to the glory of the Father. What a beautiful story. It's mind-boggling on some level. And Paul says, but this isn't a message for know-it-alls or sophisticates. People who think they got it figured out, they don't need God. They're going to do this on their own. Jesus is saying, Lord, I thank you that you did not reveal these simple truths to those people, because they're blind and they're deaf. He's talking probably for sure about the Pharisees and the religious leaders at that time, who in another place in Matthew, he says, you guys just continue to put burdens and burdens and burdens upon the regular folk. Oh, you can't do this. You can't touch that. You got to do this. You got to do that. And it's one rule after another. And he says, and you have distorted the faith of the little ones to just a religion of do's and don'ts, which is why Eugene Peter can say, are you burned out on religion? Think about Jesus and his heart for the children and for the sheep in the flock. He says that they're scattered and they're hard pressed, and the leaders are extracting from them. There's no kindness. There's no lowliness. There's no tenderness there. Jesus has come into that kind of a world then and now and says, are you tired? Come unto me, all you who are weary and are heavy laden. Do you feel weary at times? Do you feel heavy laden? Then this message is for you. Ordinary people. People who are like children that will receive by faith the thing that mom and dad give to them because they trust their parents. And it is out of this relationship of Father-Son that we also, as the children of the Father, may cry out to Abba, Father, by the Spirit's witness and enabling in our lives to have this amazing relationship. Jesus is inviting us into this beautiful relationship. He says, come, I will teach you the unforced rhythms of grace. What is grace? Someone once said it's an acronym that stands for God's riches at Christ's expense. This word that Jesus has for you, Jeffrey, and for me today, it is born in the fact that Jesus is lowly and gentle. How low will Jesus go? Because isn't that the meaning of the word lowly? To go low. He had to go low for a number of reasons, because we were in the bottom of a pit. We were in Satan's grip, if you will. We were living our own personal hells apart from God. And some of us didn't even know it. And he reached down to lift us up. He is lowly and gentle. But Jesus went further. And that's the heart of the gospel. Because he cannot offer this to us without having experienced the depths of hell himself. Because that was part of the plan of salvation. Our wickedness had to be atoned for. Our wrongdoing, our evil, our estrangement, our rebellion. Because that's what we see in Genesis 3. An outward rebellion against God. And how should rebels be treated? Well, if you're going to go according to the way of the world, then you're going to round them up and you're going to give them their just deserts. But not God. In his infinite love for us, he saved us. And again, not on the basis of deeds that we had done, but by His mercy and by His grace and His love that He has lavished upon us in the Son. Jesus did that for us. Jesus endured hell. Jesus took upon Himself our sin and our shame so that we would not have to pay the price for that. Come unto Me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus promises us that in this relationship that we have with Him, that we will find rest for our weary souls. What kind of rest are you looking for? What kind of rest do we need? I think that one of the things that we need to find rest from is our hurried and busy life that says that I will count if I do enough. The problem is our hearts condemn us. And when we think we're good enough, we're not good enough. And we're always running and clamoring to be good enough. But then we look at ourselves in the mirror and we say, I'm never going to be good enough. I don't know how to do this. And Jesus says, come, I'll show you. He says, take My yoke. It is well-fitting. It's easy. I think some of us don't want to take upon the yoke of the Lord because we actually don't believe Jesus. We actually think it's going to be hard. We think that if he yokes up with us, that we're going to have to do things that are going to be too hard for us. Or that we're going to have to say no to things that we want to do in our flesh, but that He's going to lead us to say no. That's not part of your new life in Me. And really, it's a beautiful answer because if we're yoked up with Jesus, then we're not yoked to ourselves or to the world or to the expectations of the world, because that will always disappoint. And the things that we put our hopes in, what I'll call idols that overpromise and underdeliver, they cannot bear the weight of our souls. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Like, let's say you're married and you've put all your hope in your spouse or in your marriage. He or she cannot sustain the weight of your soul. That's too much to ask. And you could say the same thing about your work. You put all your hope and your dreams and your aspirations and, you know, the development of your skills and the advancement of your life. It can't bear the weight of your soul, my brothers and sisters. And we will all have to come to that conclusion. And we will have to hear the words of Jesus. Come unto Me, all you who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Because Jesus can carry the weight of our souls. And only Jesus can do that. Jesus says, I will give you this yoke, My yoke. And if you will believe it, I promise you it's going to be easy. And it's going to be well-fitting. Think about the imagery of a yoke, my brothers and sisters. Most of us don't farm. And even the way that we farm now, we don't use oxen with yokes to plow our gardens or our fields. And we have tractors for that. But in the imagery that is spoken of here, a farmer would typically have two oxen, and they would have a yoke of wood wrapped around their necks, and they would pull together the weight of a plow in order to break up the soil, in order to plant the seed, in order that the crop would grow and there would be a harvest. Now, we want, in that scenario, to have both oxen plowing together. And we want to have a yoke that is well-fitting to each one of those. Because if it's not well-fitting and it's chafing, on the one, you're not going to get the job done. And Jesus says, take my yoke. It is easy and it is well-fitting. And you will not chafe. You will not chafe under it. Isn't that the longing of our heart? To do the things that He's called us to do in this life, to pull the plow, so to speak, to run the furrow. We are His workmanship, created for good work, which He has prepared for us in advance. And we don't have to do it alone. He does it with us. We plow together with Him. What a joy that we get to do that with Jesus, that He is constantly with us. Jesus is at our side. Jesus left His disciples after 3 years, and He said, I know you're sad because I have to go, but this is a happy kind of sad. Because even though in your sadness, because I'm leaving, you grieve, yet I will give you my Spirit. He is with you now, but soon He will be in you. And this is the beauty and the hope of the gospel, that Christ's Spirit lives within us, and that we are hid with Christ in God, which is the hope of glory. What a beautiful hope that we have, that we do not have to be like dumb animals, doing our work mindlessly and without the hope that we as spiritual beings have in Christ. That we do our work, whatever it is, as a veterinarian, as an artist, as a teacher, as a grandparent, whatever it is that you do, and you do that with joy, and you do that with the comfort knowing that Christ is with you as you plow that furrow, and that at the end, Jesus is waiting for us. Let us keep our eyes on Jesus, for He is the author and perfecter of our faith, and He will call us home, and we will be forever resting in the joy and the communion of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and with all of His people. Hallelujah. Amen.